Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome back to another episode of the Sovereign Soul Human Design Podcast, the space where the mysteries of being human unfold through the lens of human design and beyond. This isn't just a journey, it's an expedition into the depths of what it means to be truly alive. I'm your host, Tina Leanne, and joining us today is Melissa Gutierrez, also known as the Body Witch, who is an inspiring voice in the field of health and wellness. Melissa is a yoga teacher, personal trainer, energy healer, author, and a scientific-minded body researcher who also believes in the realness of magical practices. Today, we're diving deep into Melissa's personal journey and unique approach to merging psychology, movement, and spirituality, which she refers to as body magic. Melissa believes the body tells a story, and by understanding and listening to it, we can achieve profound healing and transformation. Body magic is about understanding your anatomy and physiology to create state changes. It involves everything from managing stress to unlocking deeper manifestations, and by being in tune with our bodies, we can tap into our innate power and transform our lives. So let's dive in. Welcome, Melissa. It's so great to have you on the Sovereign Soul Human Design Podcast. I'm so excited to have you here. Tell us a bit about yourself and bring us into the journey that made you who you are today.
How much time do we have?
I know, right?
So I can encapsulate a lot of this beginning, the consciousness of this journey, in a moment that is very clear to me, where the understanding of psychology that I was studying whilst in college was also resonating on a personal level, and then the use of the body in a way that began what I would call like a more conscious journey of health and wellness and like body magic. And when I was, I think, a sophomore in college, and I went to a really like an academically intense college. It was an all-women's college called Smith College in Massachusetts. And it can be a pressure cooker. And that pressure had gotten to me. And along the way of that academic journey, I also got exposed to therapy. Thank goodness. I'm very grateful for that. And in that therapy, it was discovered that what I was dealing with was depression and anxiety. I think many of us understand that diagnoses and
yes.
Yeah, totally. And they come often together, the lovely little flavor combo. So I was like, oh, okay, this is what I'm dealing with. And there was one day where I could feel the cycle of the depression beginning in a really cyclical way. Like I knew this was going to be the beginning of 2 weeks of maybe crying all the time or having to push for really heavy energy and the misery, feeling like I'm about to head into a hole. And this is going to be so, so awful. And I was on the floor crying. And I remember distinctly hearing a voice, and we could call this voice my higher self, universal consciousness, my instinct, my intuition. And it was like, if you can get up and run, you can handle this. You can start to cut down that sense of inertia, and you can start to move beyond the story. And when I say story, folks, I'm not belittling the real pharmacology and physiological underpinnings of a diagnosis of that kind. But I followed that voice. I picked myself up. It was physically painful. because I didn't want to. I just wanted to lie on the floor and cry forever. And I had already done that. That didn't work. So I got dressed whilst crying and left my dorm and ran. And I just ran until I could feel a difference. And I was able to successfully begin managing the emotional aspect of depression and anxiety through exercise and movement, which I just want to quickly asterisk and say, which began a journey, a quick one, thankfully, into exercise bulimia. Because when you discover a tool, you're really, really excited about it. And you're like, it works. I never have to feel a feeling again. I can just move all the time. And then that's why I call it the conscious, that moment of conscious awakening of like, this is how you're going to start seeing how this mechanism works and how to use it and how not to use it.
I love that. You articulate everything so well. I watched a few of your YouTube videos to prep for this. And you have a beautiful way with words. And I love that. I have a similar story to that with anxiety, depression, and also the movement. I used to go running, same thing. I used to go running and often run to the water. I grew up in Wisconsin on Lake Winnebago and then moved to Milwaukee on Lake Michigan, near Lake Michigan. And so I would often run along the lakefront or run to the water and just, you know, use that movement and also that just releasing all of it to the universe, to Mother Nature, to Earth, to the water. And that's such a beautiful self-care process, isn't it?
Self-care, cleansing. I hear what gets me excited is that I hear the immediate, even if we can't always understand it at first or express it in a way that others can understand, but the innate nourishment of nature, running near the water, you know, connecting with the sky, the plants, when people can move beyond like why, but just go and forest bathe or give it up to the water, you know, whatever, have the wind cleanse you, like that makes me excited. And I'm like, oh yes, I'm with a fellow witch, like everything is gonna be okay.
Yeah. Oh, I love. Okay, so you call yourself the body witch. So let's get into that. Why we get the body, the movement, and tell us more about that. And then also the witch, where does the witch come in?
those are great questions. Thank you. I became really interested in the body and movement in a way that it led me to deepen my education in many, many ways. And it became my point of focus. As a personal trainer, as a yoga teacher, and in somatics and body work. And, you know, originally that was all about, or seemingly all about the physical. At least that's how you can sell it to people, right? Like you're like, oh, we're going to help you with your body, which is already amazing and enough. But I noticed that I was also seeing essentially the history, everybody's idiosyncratic journey written on the body, and not just in the obvious ways of like bone formation or a scar, you know, or maybe they survived an accident or they were a former athlete and you can see that, but the psychological and mental landscape were very clear to me in the body. And not just to me, I just didn't know how to like speak about it and like put it together. And of course, as I'm working on others, I'm doing this in myself, and I'm going through a bunch of shit in my life, right? And forever, but without all the tools I have now. And I had grown up Mexican Catholic on my father's side and Puerto Rican on my mother's. And on the Puerto Rican side, we practice a form of Afro-Caribbean voodoo called Santeria. So I grew up my entire life doing like exorcisms and house cleansings and talking to spirits and asking the dead for help. So as unorthodox as that was, it gave me a lot of comfort with death. It gave me ceremonial magic. It gave me many, many tools that I just carried with me. And then I started combining them. And, you know, that took some time, but it came together. And then the body witch came forward because a friend was like, that's what you should call yourself. Because I called myself spontaneously a body witch once, and she was like, yes, that's what it should be. And she I credit my girl Abby with that and encouraging me. And that is not any different. Moving in your body to feel a certain way, to affect a state of being, is really not that different from ceremonial magic from many different traditions. So,
can you give us an example of how you took a client through the process?
Yes. And I love this question because that was a little bit of a process for me too, to start introducing some of these concepts.
Sure. Yes. Yeah.
Hey, and to be clear, when I'm saying like, I'm a witch and there's ceremonial magic involved, the first part of this piece to frame everything through is the lens of benevolence and wanting to help people find the power within themselves. I don't have a standard of practice. I am nobody to impose that. I don't have a belief system that I'm trying to, you know, get people in on. It's really just getting them to identify the body's signals. And so on the most basic level can be, I think of my own experience when I was being strongly communicated to by my body in a way that became increasingly less available to less likely to ignore about leaving a really toxic and abusive marriage. And I had undeniable experiences where my body would act out. I can use that language and say act out, or I can say was really desperately trying to get my attention.
How so?
I had digestive problems like crazy. I had anxiety that I had normalized that I didn't even realize was anxiety. I had inflammatory problems that I'd never had before, where suddenly my skin erupted. And I had acneic rosacea. And all of these things were happening. And as I was going through the journey of accepting that this is done, I'm done with this now. And sometimes, you know, like when I would get to that, the symptoms would abate and I would feel like a new person. And then I would try to deny that truth. You know, like we all take time.
Yes, we go back and forth. And by say done with this, you mean your marriage.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Really, yeah. Hard. And it's an emotional roller coaster, isn't it? Going through that process.
It really is. And I recognized that the obvious stuff, like when I took myself out of an unsafe, stressful situation, the body could regulate and I wouldn't have these symptoms, but I could also feel, because then I started to reach out to other coaches and other people for help. And I could feel that when I would start implementing certain self-talk tools or doing ritual dance magic, which was something I had always done, that the body was soothed. And it was like, oh, you hear me. Okay, you're just doing what you have to do to get out, but you're hearing me. And I started to have that much more conscious and direct relationship with my body and listening to it as its own being with wisdom, leading me along the path.
All right.
Body magic. It's what I refer to. It's in my way of referring to it, but it's really having a working understanding of your own anatomy and physiology so that you can create a state change. So in the most basic way that we're familiar with, it's like, I'm having a stress response. Let me use a breath practice to calm myself down. Or I'm angry. Let me count to 10 so that I can wait for that to pass. And so it's really having that basic or more advanced levels of understanding your own anatomy and physiology to create a specific state change that can do something like manage stress or open the doors to manifestation work, which is a thing.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. It's important to set the stage for that, isn't it? Yeah. So, and I want to go back to one more thing that you said too. Can you talk about, you said something about how you, you were managing your anxiety, and you had regulated it to a certain point where you didn't even know you were in it. Can you explain what that felt like and the awareness that, or how you had the awareness then to bring yourself out of that? I think that would be very helpful for some people to hear.
Yeah, I agree. I would love for other people to be able to recognize what's actually happening, because when someone says to you, I was in an abusive and toxic marriage for 13 years, it's not like you don't know it's bad.
Correct. Right. And you create these coping mechanisms, right? And your body's readjust, your body's adjusting to all of that.
Yes.
Yes.
And you kind of like compartmentalizing it because
yes.
you have a story in your head for whatever the story is, folks. It yes. is what it is. It keeps you in it. So you do what you have to do to regulate, to survive until you can't anymore. And I feel blessed because I think because of my background with spirituality, unorthodox spirituality, I was willing to hear the signals from anywhere. And when I could, as a scientific minded human being, when I could see that I had taken a month away from my ex-husband to test the waters on being alone. And this was facilitated by a therapist, like everything was being done with support. It wasn't just myself. And even sleeping on couches or slumming it in a friend's apartment that's about to be renovated, and I have like a pot that I borrowed, and you know, that kind of living and hustling. I never stopped working this whole period because I was like, I need money. Even with that stress, and even with the continued work with the therapist and the crying and the processing, I felt free. I could breathe. I could poop every day. That was a whole new experience. I felt happy. I had energy. The skin cleared up. And within that month, I had that. And I thought, okay, this is a good base to go back and see what's available in this relationship. And I went back and I didn't even know I was having a panic attack. I had, again, normalized so much of this that I went back into regulating what was quote unquote normal to me at the time. And I remember calling up one of my best friends and being like, I woke up and my neck is killing me and I can't, you know, I'm having trouble breathing. I'm just getting really upset. And she was like, you're having a panic attack. And I was like, that's ridiculous. You know, like what? And, you know, you have these experiences where it becomes undeniable.
Yes.
And I would say that insight, that key insight you're talking about, like, if you have to keep questioning yourself about how real it is, then it's probably real. And you're just working on accepting it as a truth. You know what I mean? It's
like, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
That is such great insight. That's so beautiful. So can you talk to us about trauma and what that is, what that looks like? Because it looks so different in so many different ways, and we absorb it in different ways, and it stays with us for, you know, it can stay with us for a long time in the body. And so can you talk about trauma and also how it stays with us in the body?
You know, trauma, and there's like big T trauma and little T traumas, and they can, and I don't want to get too caught in the weeds of like distinguishing them, but the kind of trauma that creates a lasting impact in the body is the kind of trauma I think we're addressing, and that it's an event, and it doesn't have to be one singular event, but it could be a period of your life where you experience something that changes you. You are no longer the same. And that is okay. That doesn't necessarily mean that's a bad thing, but it takes a lot to pull yourself out of whatever entropy or destruction or whatever the impact was of the initial impact of a trauma of that sort, where you experience something that changes you fundamentally or changes the way you start to move through the world and you start strategizing around that. That is the kind of trauma I think we're talking about. And that will show up in the body in many ways, in flight or flight responses. What are your particular triggers? How do you relate to your body? Do you see it a certain way? Do you love yourself? Are you comfortable taking care of yourself? You know, like that's the relationship. I think the first relationship that we learn to navigate, especially in light of trauma, is in the body. And I've had a really chaotic and physically abusive childhood, but that did not include sexual trauma. You know, so there's different levels, I think. And I think it's okay to say that. It's okay to say mm-hmm. that certain traumas impact you in a way that are maybe take more work to come out of or more support than others.
Yes.
But to just be honest about, like, this stays with you physiologically, biologically, your neurology changes. We know that now. Your
mm-hmm.
your genetics start to express differently. Like, the body is the first temple of manifestation. That is
mm-hmm.
clear.
Talk to us about self-love.
It is not a luxury. And if anybody wants to heal or express power in their lives in a way that's positive and constructive and gets them out of a bad situation or helps them to live the life that they most desire, you have to be able to love yourself. And you have to be able to do that explicitly through vocalization, the way you look at yourself, the way you touch yourself, the way you speak about yourself. It is not enough to go, oh yeah, yeah, I love myself. That's total bullshit. Unless you are in the mirror looking at yourself and being like, I love you. I love you. I love you. And all the versions that live inside you get that love.
Mm.
It's not enough. It's just not enough, in my humble opinion.
You know, the first time I looked in the mirror and looked in my eyes, I'm getting choked up right now, even
yeah.
saying this. The first time I looked in the mirror and looked in my eyes and said, I love you, I bawled my eyes out. It was,
yeah.
that was an incredible exercise and such an incredible reflection. Whew, I can't believe I'm getting choked up about
that.
Oh,
no, I'm so
but
glad.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, I mean, the self-love journey, that's the game, right? And it's beautiful and all the things.
It is, and I get teary-eyed hearing you talk about it because it brings me back to, this is the problem, like, when I'm so enthusiastic about this subject and I'm like, it's bullshit, you have to love yourself. And I'm like a really aggressive mom. Like,
I get the same.
I
get so
eat.
Passionate. I'm like, because you know, you can see it in them, right? You can see it underneath all the stuff, and you're like,
and it's like, no,
you got this.
But what's hard about it, and what keeps us all from living in a society collectively that is reflective of that, is the confrontation with the stories, the traumas, the histories, the baggage that came from your personal experiences, from collective experiences, that stand in the way of allowing you to feel that without guilt, without shame, without
mm.
qualification. And that's the work. It's we're crying about it because we know the work it takes to get there.
Yeah.
It can be hard, but it's, you're capable of it. I just want people to know that you can do it.
Yes. Oh yes. Yes. Totally capable, especially with a beautiful support system. You talk about your friends a lot and having that, you sounds like you have great friends who offer some really sound feedback, and family
yeah.
is helpful, coaches. I know you talk yeah. about having, you talk about coaches, and I have some mentors as well. And oh, it's beautiful to be in a really safe community to unwind some of this stuff and to have that higher perspective and that safe reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the pain can unwind for sure.
Yeah. I really wish everyone, you know, respecting whatever our financial accessibility
mm-hmm.
is
mm-hmm.
and where we live and all of that. But even if you can find a song that is very hopeful to you and creates hope and brings you back into the light, that can be the support, you know?
Yes.
Nature, hug a tree.
Nature,
you know,
yes.
Go to the water. And if you are privileged enough to be able to invest in yourself this way, when I left that marriage, it was such a crucible for me. I was never the same, but I recognized that, like, okay, I have an opportunity. I can either leave this behind and be in a new version of myself that I'm happier with, and that's
mm-hmm.
going to be hard and take work, or I leave this behind and I live in it. Like, I live in the aftermath of it, like, bleh, like, just in it. And I'm like, I don't want to repeat it. And so I really dedicated myself to self-development and doing everything, especially if it was weird. I was like, great, let's do it. I don't care.
Yeah, I love that. You're so fun to talk to. So let's dive deeper into this scientific-minded body researcher. You talk about that on your website. Let's talk about that. And I love you're very sciencey and also this magical witch. I love that you bring the two together.
Yeah, me too. Because it's very, right, like the science part, when I talked about one of my degrees in college was in psychology, because I think it's very important to be able, when working with people or with even ourselves, to contextualize our experiences in quote unquote reality, which we know is really subjective. And when you have other perspectives that you're relating to, that reality becomes really subjective and simultaneous, multiple verisimilitude. Like some people are going to have this perspective, some people are going to have this. You talk to siblings who grew up in the same home, and they're all going to have different experiences, sometimes vastly. And I think that in order to come together, it's very, very useful to have some basics. And that's where the science for me comes in. It's like, oh, okay, if I can measure something and if I can get that data, hard data, that's a really great place to start. And it can be very clarifying. I'm not necessarily married to only that kind of data, clearly, as a practicing witch, but I don't find anything wrong with using the advanced science of the human body in motion that I learned about to help heal. It's like, oh, this is how your biology works. And like if I put that in, the first example that comes to mind is teaching somebody about a woman about her own genitalia through the anatomy, so that it's like, I'm not teaching you how to relate to it yet. I am talking to you about what exists. And if we can just accept what exists and get someone comfortable with that and in themselves, then you can open the doors to assisting somebody with, well, how do you want to relate to it? Then it's more open and free, and then you can bring in the woo and do like a sex magic or do sex healing or just do orgasm reclamation or just learn how to touch yourself in a way that feels good for you, and that's all it needs to be. It's up to the individual, but if we can just start in a grounded place, that will make everyone feel a little more at ease, is what I've noticed. So
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. So do you have some helpful tips for our listeners? You talk a lot about empowerment, which I love. Do you have any helpful tips that you can share today to help people internalize their power and set boundaries in a healthy way?
boundary setting. I love that. That's one of my favorites. The first tip, and it's like we have to do this on the podcast for sake of time, folks. We gotta be snappy with this.
Yeah.
It can be big, like be your own best friend and you will be free. Be your own best friend and you will be free. Do the work to really come to love yourself and stand in the truth of your own being without judgment. Do the work to be there, and you will know a freedom that is astounding and very empowering. And so, like, that's the big tip, right? Which is kind of a little bit of a throwaway because people are gonna be like, that's a journey.
Big journey, but also so beautiful
A big journey.
and so fun.
And I'm so blessed to be in the presence, by the way, because being in Tina's presence, I can feel that she's done the work to carry a light within herself, and it makes it easier for me to shine. And that is the hope, is that in giving these tips of empowerment, like another great tip would be to be aware of how you speak to yourself. Most people have an internal monologue or dialogue. There is a small segment of the population that we know that seems to lack that. And of course, it's all self-reporting because you can't be in somebody's head as of yet like this. And it's not necessarily indicative of a pathology or psychopathy. It's just the general trend of humanity is that we have self-talk going on in our heads. When you can become aware of it and start manipulating it, your entire life changes.
Agree. And I love this. I heard a long time ago, somebody said this to me about this internal self-talk. Because I'm used to be in the past, notoriously really hard on myself. Yeah. And I was in one of those moments and said something out loud. The voice inside my head was externalized. And this woman looked at me and she said, "Would you talk to your best friend like that? Would you talk to your sister like that? Would you talk to your mother like that?" And I just looked at her and I was like, "No." And she said, "Don't talk to yourself like that then." And I'll never forget that.
Yay, lady. Thank you.
Yeah, I know, right? Set me off on a whole, just that one, it was like a 2 second interaction, set me off on a whole different trajectory for sure. I from that moment on, was really aware of how I talked to myself. It was really beautiful. That's so important.
That's a really interesting place too, where again, the Venn diagram of science and esoteric studies come together. And again, esoteric is defined by what we can't measure scientifically. And that changes rapidly, especially these days in our society. Sciences are so quickly progressive. But we now know through modern scientific exploration, especially in the institutions of psychotherapy, that this talk exists. But for like thousands and thousands of years in Eastern philosophy, people were like, "You need to go sit with yourself and manage your shit." And now we're like, "Oh, there's an internal dialogue." It's like, yeah, there's,
yeah.
Yes. Be a clear, observant, educated observer. Adjudicate appropriately. Do your critical thinking work. You know, let the academic part of you come forward. But if you're called by your own instinct or spirit or higher consciousness, whatever you want to, however you align with it, to practices that may not be easily measurable in the same way, but are safe for you and others and feel good to you, then go with that.
Yeah. I love that. Intuition, right?
Intuition.
Yeah. Let's talk about building muscle. Yeah, I am okay. I splurged and I am working with a personal trainer for the first time in my life at the ripe old age of 54. So I experienced a knee injury last year, late last year, and was trying to remedy the situation myself, and just it was coming to this place of, okay, I can't do this myself. And I want to work with someone who's forward thinking. And I had in mind, like, this is the person I want to work with. And then I was at a networking event a couple of weeks later and crossed paths with this man named Phil. I'm working with Phil now. And it's been amazing. Yeah. It's been amazing. I mean, at first I was like, okay, do I jump into this or not? And I'm so happy that I did. And I'm so happy that I made the investment in myself. Yes. In working with him, I'm just learning more about the functionality of my body. And we're really digging deep and learning about how to reactivate muscles that have not been used properly, probably in decades.
And it can happen.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. And I'm building muscle at this age. You know, I've always been so active, but since this knee injury, I've lost a lot of muscle. And anyway, enough about me. So let's talk about building muscle from your perspective and why it's so important. And let's talk about it, like, go deep with it, because it's more than looking good. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I just love that you're doing it in the conversation for me. You're like, I'm discovering about the functionality of my muscle. I'm discovering that at this age, quote unquote, 54, which, by the way, this woman looks phenomenal for any age. And that is the self-love glow. That is the, I take care of myself. I pay attention to myself. And what's so exciting is when people come to this and start doing the work, they recognize that they can A, do things that they didn't think they could, which is a humongous boost.
Yep.
They start to heal themselves. What's sad is that women are a little late to the game on this one, because of many reasons. I could do like the liberal arts TED talk on like how we relate to our bodies and why women are behind the curve, but are now catching up very quickly in the strength training field. But it's, we have been taught as women to really value a particular aesthetic about ourselves and to remain, you know, attached to that aesthetic for maybe safety in our society and self-worth. And the truth is, in order to build muscle and to be strong, you have to be willing to eat sometimes a fuck ton, because you don't get to build muscle out of nothing. And then you have to be okay with the changes your body is making. And sometimes those changes look really satisfying immediately. Like I can see tonality in a tricep, quads better, or my knees don't hurt. You know, there's that's the gold. And to your point, Tina, that is the depth of the work. It's not about what we look like, but it would be unfair to try to put people on the path and not say to them, you're going to be amazed by how you feel. You're going to take care of yourself. You're going to heal. You're going to build muscle in a way that protects your body and your brain as you age, particularly as we're discovering in the science of menopause for women. And you will have to change your identification with what you value about yourself most sometimes. And it won't be, I look little and cute or slim or appropriately feminine or whatever the gobbledygook garbage fucktard shit is that we have all been gifted. When women start to strength train, the reason it's challenging to get them in is the misperceptions of like, I don't want to get big. That's not a thing.
It isn't.
That's not a thing. And I don't, you know, we can go into the science about that another time. That's just not a thing. It's not a thing. And also question yourself. If you knew that being bigger meant more physical power, you feeling stronger, you walking through the world being seen differently and healed, that you have physical strength you did not before, you're not going to question yourself when you go, I don't want that because I don't want to look a certain way. We're already stumbling into the pathology. You know, we're already like, oh, okay. Let's teach you how to choose your well-being first.
I love that so much. And you're right. I mean, I stand taller. My, you know, my shoulders were a little rolled forward from sitting at a desk for more than three decades. My, you know, they're, you know, going back to where they should be. And permanently too, right?
It's not just a
quick fix, right? Yeah. These things are like permanently happening, these changes and shifts. And you're right. I feel more confidence. My balance is better. You know, when I do yoga, it's solid. I feel solid now in those poses and it just feels good. And you're right. And I'm not going to bulk up, you know, unless you absolutely are really working on that and doing, like you said, you have to really focus on that to bulk up as a woman.
You have to be a dedicated athlete.
Yes.
And women in particular who are in bodybuilding or even like bikini competitions where body composition is the primary goal. Your entire life is that. You work out 5 to 6 days a week, sometimes twice a day. You eat a prescribed amount of usually an enormous amount of calories, and it's uncomfortable because I've gone through some bulking phases and building muscle. And then you live your entire life that way because you have to sleep, because if you don't sleep properly, you fuck up your gains. This is not a thing that's going to happen in 2 to 3 little workout sessions a week, folks.
No, it's not. I can tell you I'm living it right now. And you're right. I only work out 2 to 4 times a week, depending on my weeks, 2 to 4 times a week for 45 minutes to an hour. And my whole, just for like two and a half months now, my body has changed so much. And it happens so fast when you do it right. Yes. And yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. So thank you for the work that you're doing, because it's so important. I tell Phil, I'm like, I could have never figured this out without you. You know, I can watch all the videos and try to piece it together and everything, but to just, you know, just be able to like have that extra little, you know, tweak the way my foot position is on a machine or something like that is so helpful. Yeah. So yeah, it's so great. So
go Phil.
I know. It's so I could talk for hours about it. I just love it. I love it so much. I love that you're doing this work specifically with women. I love that you're bringing in the magic, the consciousness along with it too. It's just, it's beautiful work and it's so important and so valued. So thank you for all the work that you've done to get to where you are right now.
Thank you. I feel that so deeply. And I think it's easy to let the passion come through because I don't see myself conveying any information from like an authoritative standpoint. I mean, yes, I have authority from experience and education, you know, and trial and error. But what ignites my passion is seeing somebody and being like, oh, no, I know that. You can get out of that. Did you know you can be a badass witch? Did you know you can live your whole fucking life living exactly the way you want? It's crazy. We're not told this, but you can the way you want. Not anybody else, not even me. This what you want. And that's what excites me the most because I feel like I'm in it with people. Like, no, we're all moving through it together. And I acknowledge that there are, in the way that I acknowledge my own expertise, I acknowledge that there are teachers who have been doing it for decades who, you know, I give them that credit. But if anybody's like, I'm enlightened and I have all the answers, run. That is not real. Like, but somebody who's like, I may not have gone exactly to what you're doing, but I understand what it is to pick myself up and find grit and resilience that I didn't think I had. Grit and resilience are tools that can be taught. And the weightlifting is a major way to feel into that, to cultivate that for yourself.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes to all that. Yeah. Yes. Yes. You're right. It is grit when you're pushing to 100% fail.
Oh yeah.
In a workout.
You're shaking
and the weight, you know, you push the weight up from 130 to 180 and you go for it and then you can actually do it. Yeah.
And you get all these like, they're flooded by all these like neuromodulators, and all these hormones, but something that is really primary to that experience that when working with women, I have found is that they get, when the effort gets intense like that, instead of externalizing it the way they'll associate with like, they'll be like, those dudes, they're so obnoxious the way they're grunting and moaning and then they drop the weights. And I'm like, do you know what it takes to work that hard?
Yeah.
Instead of criticizing them, being jealous of what men get away with, claim the space, grunt, get sweaty, moan, push. And when you can hear yourself do all that and you break through the veneer of, I no longer look pretty or I'm making noise or I'm taking up space and you don't give a fuck because you just did that thing. That's when you start to invite in the power that we were talking about, how to internalize.
Yes.
You're expressing it. You're expressing your power without qualification or asking for permission. And then you celebrate it. You're like, I did it. And if you have a trainer who's good, they go, you fucking did. They push you and they celebrate with you. They are teaching you to internalize and express your power. That's what that is.
That's so beautiful.
It's so cool, isn't it?
So cool. It's so cool. It's so cool. It really is. It's just so magical. Addictive. And it's magical. I love it. And I love the way you're tying all this together and the way you articulate everything so beautifully. Yes. Do you want to talk more about pleasure, sex magic?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's go.
I just want to qualify it before I get into my enthusiastic, like, touch yourself all the time, masturbate. That is one way self-pleasure and self-touch shows up. And whether or not someone orgasms, has a desire to, or defines orgasm the way other people experience orgasm, and there are scientific, obvious studies about that, I just want to make sure that this is about people claiming themselves. And so it's enough for me when we talk about a pleasure practice that if that's too big or it's scary or there are going to be people who might hear this and identify as asexual. And none of that authentic identification has to be violated by a practice in which you affirm who you are by touching yourself with respect, honor, and love. And so that's really the way I want to, you know, approach it. Like, yes, I do want, you know, there is a part of me that says, okay, with all that being said, I still want people to touch their own genitals. With, at the very least, the ability to not flinch, to look at them without shame, to know the basic biology and physiology, because when you can touch yourself that way, you can also value a part of yourself in a way that allows you to communicate to your medical practitioners, to advocate for yourself, to say something doesn't feel right, to know yourself enough to be able to identify when you need help. And so that is like the basics and the foundation you build with yourself. Then if you're open to it, you can have full pleasure in many different ways. It is genitally expressed orgasm and beyond. You can have full body orgasms. You can energy orgasms. You can use this energy to heal, to manifest things that you want. And that is, and I'm excited because on the, you know, I see in social media that's really coming forward and I'm like, yes, you know, I'm like, oh, it's coming back. We're cycling through again. I mean, I want to make it more permanent, but it really starts with, once again, demonstrating externally loving yourself, touching yourself. And if you feel a flinch or a discomfort, acknowledging that and saying, it's okay, but I'm worth fighting for. I'm worth trying to have a new story and relationship, particularly with such precious and tender parts of ourselves that are vulnerable, not just physically in the world, but vulnerable to the stories that have oppressed particular groups of people.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love that so much.
Too much?
I love it. I love it. Is there anything you want to add that we didn't hit on?
I don't think so. Other than please go work out and do it because you deserve it, not because you have to look a certain way. Stop.
Yeah.
You know, do the work to stop that. Yeah. 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 Just
do it for yourself.
Do it for yourself. Do it so that you preserve yourself. There's way too much science out there that tells us more and more that our brain health is preserved when we have more muscle. Our bones are preserved when we have more muscle. Hormones, health, and longevity are yours if you are willing to build muscle, and that takes effort. So just do what it takes is really what I want, you know, and then touch yourselves.
All right, Mel, what does it mean to truly feel alive?
Oh, I don't know if I have the, like, a definitive answer, but I feel the most alive when I am communing with my spirit guides and the dead, and I am dancing ecstatically and I am inviting them into the dance and we move through the cosmos together, marrying time and space. That's when I feel, and plant medicine can be helpful for that, but that's when I feel
for sure
some of the most alive. That's when I feel the most, some of the most plugged in.
Ooh, I love that. All right. This has been so good. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, I just loved recording that episode and hanging out with Mel. She's so knowledgeable and embodied in everything that she teaches. She really is the real deal. Make sure you go check out her website and everything that she has to offer. I'll put all the links in the show notes. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Share it with your friends and family and leave a review. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And also, your review helps us grow and reach more like-minded souls. Thank you for being part of this beautiful community. Your support means the world to us. Stay radiant and true to yourself, and we'll see you next time on the Sovereign Soul Human Design Podcast.